Welcome to A.T. Stewart and Sons Ministries. I'm your host, A.T. Stewart. I'm glad you've chosen to join us today as we look into the Word of God. So take your Bibles and let's hang out in God's Word for a few moments and see what God would say to us today.
What's the biggest need that you have in your life today? What's the greatest need that you have? Think about it. Is it for more money? Is it for more time? You just say, I never have enough time. Maybe you need friends. You're lonely. You need friendship. Maybe you need love. Maybe you're saying, you know, it's just not much love in my family. We need more love. Maybe you need patience. What is the greatest need you have in your life today? Well, I want you to know that God has a plan to meet your needs in abundance. God has a plan so that you will experience no lasting need, but He will meet those needs in abundance. Back in Genesis chapter 1, when God created the world, after the sixth day, the Scripture says, and God saw that all that He had made, and behold, it was very good. Now, one of the reasons that God looked at the world and said it is very good is because God had worked a plan of economy into His creation so that there would never be any unmet needs. That every need of His creation would be met in abundance. There would be no extreme poverty. There would be no starvation. There would be no loneliness. There would be no wars. No hatred. No lack of anything. God had a perfect plan that would abundantly meet every need His world would ever have. Every need that you would ever have would be met. Now, how would it be to live a life with absolutely no unmet needs? Be great, wouldn't it? Well, that was God's economy for His creation. Well, what happened? Well, when man sinned, man disregarded God's economy and began his own economy. And many of you have studied Economics 101. And in man's economy, man has not done a good job at all in rebelling against God's economy and setting up his own economy. He has done an extremely poor job. We have starvation. We have extreme poverty. We have wars. We have loneliness. We have done an extremely poor job of managing this creation that God made. Now, what we need to do is we need to rediscover God's economy. That economy in which no needs will go unmet. We need to plug into God's economy. In fact, there are those who believe, and I'm one of them, that in the end days, that during the time of the tribulation, that the Antichrist will require that anyone who will be involved in the world's commerce must have a mark. His mark, either on their head or on their hand. And if you don't have that mark, you won't be able to buy or sell. You will be excluded from the world's economy. Now, if you don't know how to plug into God's economy by then, you're going to be in trouble. But if you will learn how to plug into God's economy, then when man's economy is taken from you, you won't have a problem. You'll still have every need met in abundance. Now let's look at God's plan for economy. It can be summed up in one word. And take your Bibles and turn over to Luke 6. We find that one word in verse 38. God's economy, He's made it simple for us. You don't have to memorize a whole lot. Just one word. If you'll understand this word, you can understand God's economy, and if you will put it into practice, you will have no unmet needs in your life. Sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? Luke 6:38. In respect for the Word of God, let me ask you to stand. See if you can find that one key word. Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. You may be seated. May God bless the reading, the hearing, and most of all, the obeying of His Word. Did you see it? Did you see the key word? What is it? Give. That's it. Give. And it will be given unto you. In man's economy, what's the key word? Save. Receive. Hold on to it. Invest it. God's economy, the key word is give. It is so simple, yet it is so powerful in God's plan. Look over in John 12, for instance. We see this principle. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies," what's that but giving of itself, "it remains alone. But if it dies, if it gives, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it. He that holds on to his life loses it. But he who hates his life in this world will keep it to eternal life." God accomplished our salvation based on this principle, His economy. God gave His Son Jesus. Jesus gave His life that He might acquire His church. It is through this principle that you and I partake of salvation. We give our all to Him in faith and surrender and receive His salvation. He who loses, who gains his life shall lose it. He that loses it shall gain it unto eternal life. And so we see this principle at work throughout God's creation, both physical and spiritual. If we will put God's plan into action, loneliness will be cured, hearts will be opened, friendship will be mended, bitterness will be removed, there will be absolutely no unmet needs in your life. Now in this verse 38 of Luke 6, we're going to see three things. We're going to see this is a personal principle. We're going to see this is a practical principle. And we're going to see this is a profitable principle. All right, first, it is a personal principle. Give. Now, in the Greek, this is second person plural. You could say, you give. Or more accurately, in southern vernacular, y'all give. All right, it's plural. Y'all give. And so it's all inclusive. It is personally inclusive. It includes everyone. Nobody is exempt from this plan. No matter how rich you are or how poor you are, you still are to give. No matter how educated or uneducated you are, you still are to give. No matter how many needs you have or don't have, you still are to give. It is personally inclusive. No one is exempt. Well, what am I supposed to give, preacher? Everything good. Stewardship, as we saw, includes all of our commodities. Everything, not just your money, but your time, your abilities. Everything that you have, everything good, is to be involved in God's economy and involved in this giving. Give love, give friendship, give. Y'all give. Not only is it personally inclusive, but it is also personally imperative. It's a command. You've heard me say before that the Greek language makes it clear when it's a command. It puts it in a certain ending of the word. It's spelled a certain way, and you know that ending means this is a command. In the English, we just kind of got to figure it out. Now, is this a command? Is this a suggestion? Is this a declarative statement? But in the Greek, you don't have to word about that. It tells you clearly by how the word's spelled that it's a command. This word give is a command. It's in the imperative mood. Jesus says there's no option. Give. He didn't say if you had some left over, give. He didn't say if you have time, give. He didn't say if you feel like it, but give. Now, not only is it personally inclusive, include everyone, not only is it personally imperative, you're commanded, but it's also personally continuous. Again, the Greek word is present active tense, which means continual action. Jesus is not saying we should give every now and then, that we should give spasmodically, or we should give once a year. But He's saying we are to be giving always. Giving is to be a lifestyle for us. Giving is to be your permanent lifestyle. Give and give and give and give and keep on giving. As someone has said, you never get paid up in God's economy. You continue to give. So first of all, it's a personal principle. Secondly, it's a practical principle. Give, and it shall be given to you. Now, if you just gave and it was gone forever, that wouldn't be too practical. But Jesus says, give, and it will be given to you. You see, this principle of God's economy, this principle of giving, unlocks God's unlimited resources and riches for the universe. When the giving principle is ignored, when it's disobeyed, when it's disregarded, it locks up God's resources. It blocks God's plan. Now, you'll see a picture. This is a satellite picture, and that is of the Holy Land. And this is the Sea of Galilee, and this is the Dead Sea. Now, the Dead Sea is called the Dead Sea because nothing lives in the Dead Sea. No animal life, no plant life. Now, you got the Sea of Galilee, and what you probably can't see is that the Jordan River flows from the Sea of Galilee down to the Dead Sea. But there's nothing flowing out of the Dead Sea. That's why it's dead. It doesn't give. The Dead Sea only receives water from the Jordan River and nothing goes out. Next picture. And so what you have is a pile of minerals and salt and nothing lives there. I've had the privilege of going into the Dead Sea and actually floating. You can't sink. It's so saturated with salt and minerals, you can't sink. You couldn't drown in it unless you just turned over and stuck your head down and held it down. It's amazing. But it's dead because it doesn't follow God's principle of giving. And when we don't give, we do the same thing. We stop up God's plan of economy. Giving releases His unlimited resources. It unlocks it. Holding on, hoarding, keeping stops it up. Take a seed. As long as that seed stays on a shelf, nothing good happens. That seed has to be planted in the ground. It has to be given. And then when it's given, good things can happen. Its power is released. You remember when Jesus was teaching the 5,000 men, probably 25,000 people in all, counting the women and children, and they were hungry. And there was one little boy there that had some loaves and fish. You remember that? Now, if that little boy had held on to those loaves and fish, those 24,999 other people would have been hungry. But what did he do? He gave. He gave. The key word in God's economy, he gave. And when he gave, it was given back unto him. Not only did it multiply back to him, but all of those could eat and there were basketfuls left over. And those basket, that word for basket is a big basket a man could get down into. Big old basket, 50 gallon type of drum situation. Filled up to fullness. Because when he gave, he released God's power. Not only does giving unlock God's unlimited resources, but this is practically seen in nature. You look at all of nature. God has built this principle into nature. The sun gives its heat. The sun gives vitamin D. Trees give their fruit so that it falls into the ground and more trees come up. And we can eat of that fruit. The soil gives its nutrients up. The clouds give rain. You look at creation and what you see is continual giving. All of creation is built on that principle of giving. And God demonstrated this principle in His own Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whoever believes on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Also, this principle is practically true in the area of human needs. Look over in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. Give, and it will be given to you. He who waters will himself be watered. This is God's economy. Give, and you shall receive back. That means that if you are going to have your needs met, where do you need to give? In your area of abundance or in your area of need? You see, man's economy says give out of your abundance. What does God's economy say? Give out of your greatest lack. Give where you need the most. If you need money, you need to be given more money. When your money is the tightest, is when you need to be given the most. You need love, you need to give love. You're lonely, you need to give friendship. And then God will multiply back to you. You need patience, you need to give patience. And then God will multiply the patience back to you. You need time? Well, I just don't have any time. Give time to God. Give time to someone in need, and God will multiply the time back. Now, don't look to that person that you're giving to multiply back. It's God who will multiply back, and He'll do it in His way. He'll do it in His time, not your time, and He'll do it to His glory. But you need to say, wherever your greatest need is, you need to say, God, show me how to give in this area of my greatest need so that you might give back to me. That I might have this need met in my life. Now, do you see? Listen. God's economy says the place you start giving is the place you have the greatest need. Not where you have the greatest abundance. No, go to where you have the greatest lack. And if you want to see more in that area, then that's where you give. Trust in God. You see, this is a promise that God gives us. Give and it will be given unto you. Take your Bibles and look over in 1 Kings chapter 17. We see this principle so beautifully set out for us in this story. In 1 Kings 17, Elijah the prophet has just announced to Ahab the king that there would be a drought in the land and there would not rain until God told him to give the word. And so God sent Elijah out by the brook Cherub, and the ravens fed him and he drank water out of the brook, and then the brook dried up. And so God told him to go to the city of Zarephath. And there was a widow lady there. Now that's where we pick up our story. Now I want to ask you, as we're looking at this story, what was this widow lady's greatest need? And if we can find out where her greatest need was, then we can say, well, where should she have been giving in order to get in on God's economy? Man's economy was in the tubes. The drought had destroyed man's economy. Now, if she was going to get in on God's economy, where did she need to give? Look at the story. Verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please, give me a little water in a jar that I may drink." As she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a piece of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in the bowl and a little oil in the jar. And behold, I'm gathering a few sticks so that I may go in and prepare for me and my son that we may eat it and die." Now, where is this lady's greatest need? She needed food. She and her son were starving to death, and after this meal, they would have nothing left and they would die. That was her greatest need. That was no hope in man's economy. Now, what would she need to do to get in on God's economy? Then Elijah, verse 13, said to her, "Do not fear. Go do as you've said, but make me a little bread cake from it first and bring it out to me. And afterward you may make one for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth." Elijah said, "You give at the point of your greatest lack, your greatest need. You don't have enough food but for one cake of bread. Give it to me. Give. And it shall be given unto you. God will see to it that your flour is never exhausted, nor your oil ever dry until rain comes on the earth." Verse 15. So she went and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for many days. "Give, and it will be given unto you. The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke through Elijah." If you're experiencing an unmet need, that's where you need to give and release God's unlimited resources for you in that area. Now, if you're experiencing an unmet need, it may well be because your giving is falling short of God's plan of economy. And that's why you're experiencing the need. This happened over in the Old Testament in the book of Haggai. Look over in Haggai chapter 1. The Israelites were experiencing some lack. They were having unmet needs going on in their lives. I mean, they would work and they wouldn't have enough. They would eat and never be satisfied. They'd put money in their pockets and it'd be like holes in them. Maybe you know what that feels like. Look, beginning in verse 5 of Haggai 1. "Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." Now, you have an unmet needs in your life? Well, let's think a moment about your life. "You have sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there's not enough to be satisfied. You drink, and there's not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. He who earns wages to put into a purse with holes." They had unmet needs. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." Now, this is why you have an unmet needs. "Go up to the mountains, bring wood, and rebuild the temple, that I may be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. You look for much, but behold, it comes to little. When you bring it home, I blow it away." Why? Declares the Lord of hosts. "Because of my house, which lies desolate, while each of you runs into his own house. Therefore, because of you, the sky has withheld its dew, the earth has withheld its produce. I call for a drought on the land, on the mountains, on the grain, on the new wine, on the oil, on what the ground produces, on men, on cattle, on all the labor of your hands." God said, "You let my house get in disrepair and fall into ruins while you're building fine paneled homes to live in yourself. And because you have neglected to give and instead have hoarded and kept, you have locked up the resources of God, and therefore you are experiencing unmet needs." So if you're experiencing unmet needs in your life, you need to ask God where you have fallen down in your giving. Whether it be time, whether it be abilities, whether it be talents, whether it be love, whether it be your money. And then you need to start giving at the point of your greatest need. You remember Hannah? Hannah was Samuel's mother. Remember that? When you begin reading in the book of 1 Samuel, you find Hannah had a great need. Remember what the need was? She was barren. No children. Oh, how she wanted a child. Her husband's other wife was having children, and that just added to her feeling of worthlessness and contempt. And man, she wanted a child. Oh, that was her greatest need. And you remember what she did? She went in and she prayed and she said, God, if you will but give me a son, give me a child, she would do what? Give him back. Give him back. Wait a minute. I thought that's what you wanted. I thought that was your need, was a child, and now you're going to just give that child away? Give him back to God? Then you won't have a child again. But Hannah understood the principle. She understood something of God's economy. And so when that child was born, she promised and did as she said and gave him to God to live there with Eli in Shiloh. You say, well, then she didn't have a child. In fact, God blessed her with 3 more sons and 2 more daughters. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Give where you have your greatest need, and then God will multiply back. You see, it's a practical principle. But not only is it personal and practical, but it's profitable. Jesus says, give, and it shall be given unto you. And He gives some terms there. He says, pour into your lap good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. You see, this is a promise that Jesus gives. A promise backed by God, guaranteed. He will never renege on any of His promises. Now, the word picture here is a man with a robe on, as they wore in the biblical days, and he wants to carry as much grain as he can get in his robe, and so he pulls it up and makes kind of a container out of it. He makes a big pocket out of this robe. He holds it up like this. And hear the words that they use. Jesus says, give and it will be given unto you. They will pour into your lap a good measure. Pour that grain in there. Good measure. Good bit of it. But press it down so you can get more in there. Shake it so it'll settle. And then put more in there until it runs over. Jesus says, give and it shall be given unto you abundantly until it's running over. You see, the principle is we receive in proportion to our giving. Last part of that verse, Jesus says, for by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. God blesses us according to the proportion of what we give. The more we give, the more He multiplies back. That is a rule of God's creation as sure as gravity. 2 Corinthians, Paul says, he who sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. He who sows abundantly shall reap abundantly. It is a principle of God's creation as sure as gravity. The more you sow, the more you reap. The less you sow, the less you reap. The more you give, the more you see in return. Now, I think that is in proportion to what you have after you give. God's not limited. If a person's a billionaire and they give $1 million... I think God will bless and return unto that poor person who can only afford to give $100. He will multiply back because of the proportion of what He gives in relation to what He has left. But it is a profitable principle. And so we are to give so that God multiplies back so that we can give more. See how it works? That's God's economy. Give. It should be given unto you. Give at the point of your greatest need. That releases God to work in your situation. Now, He's going to work His way, not your way. Don't try to figure out how God's going to do it. You can't put Him in a box. But you can count on His promise. If you will give, He will multiply back and meet your needs in abundance. Martha Berry understood something of this principle. Martha Barry had a dream. She had a dream to build a school for poor children. But the problem was she only had the dream. She didn't have any money. She didn't have a building. She didn't have any books. She just had a dream. She had a need for money. So she went to see Henry Ford. And she asked Henry Ford to give a donation to her school for poor children. Henry Ford reached down in his pocket and he pulled out a dime and he gave it to her. Now, some people would have been insulted with that. But Martha Barry understood something of God's economy. So she took that dime and she bought seeds. And she planted those seeds. They grew up. She took the produce. She sold it. She bought more seeds. She planted those. When the produce came up, she gathered the produce. She sold it. She bought more seeds. Planted those seeds. They grew up. She harvested the crop. She sold the crop. She bought more seeds. She planted those. And after three or four harvests, she had enough money to buy an old house to use as a schoolhouse for these poor children. Because she was giving. Giving. So she went to see Henry Ford and told him what had happened. He was so impressed, he gave her $1 million. And so Barry's school was formed. Now it's Barry College in Rome. She understood the principle of giving and God gives back. A personal principle, a practical principle, and a profitable principle. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your grace. Thank you that you have provided a plan whereby we can have all of our needs met in abundance. If we will but go against our natural inclination to hold on and to hoard, and we give in faith, trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we want to give you an opportunity to respond as the Holy Spirit has dealt with you. Would you like to have your sins forgiven? Would you like to have a place in heaven with God for eternity? Then give. Give your heart and soul to God. Call upon the name of the Lord in faith. Give up your personal ambitions. Give up your pride. Give up your works. And just rest in what God has accomplished for you in Jesus Christ. Give up all that you are. And receive all that He is into your life. Appropriate that salvation that He's accomplished for you. Stand as we sing together and you step out in obedience to God.